It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. You didn't give me the eye of the tiger for. I've already lost, dude.
Oh.
He's like giving me the stare down.
I'm just watching your work, baby.
Like you're all Apollo Creed and whatnot. I've already lost, brother.
I like to watch people work.
Okay. 503-733-2970. Coming up, we got CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard going to join us this hour later on. Peter Carlin. We'll talk Storm Large, etc. We're here with Smokey Witch from KUPL, John Paul from KUPL. We're facing off in a post-hitting contest at which I have already sucked in a spectacular fashion. I have both sucked and blown today. Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Rick?
What's up, brother?
Well, during the commercial break, just for grins and giggles, I switched over to KUPL to listen.
Yes.
And, well, Smokey, that, you kind of missed that post-hitting.
Yeah, I messed up, okay, because I'm busy.
He left his post-hitting ability over here, sir.
You know, I'm actually on a music phone call-driven radio station right now. My boss isn't. He just programs the place. You are doing what you normally do.
Uh-huh.
I am having to think about things that I never think about this.
You know, it's a poor woman who blames his tools.
Exactly, Smokey.
Alexander, you're right. I screwed up on the air. My boss brought it to my attention,
right.
too.
Thank you,
all
sir.
Right, well, that's all.
It's fun to point out the shortcomings of others, isn't it, Alexander?
Rick, we shouldn't do this if it's getting
ever.
What's that?
We shouldn't do this if it's getting Smokey in trouble.
No, I brought it up to him to it, too.
It's all right.
Confidence.
Nobody's listening here. All right. So Smokey, so here's the thing. We will have you do the Motley Crue. And then John, you do the next two. You'll do those as well, and then we'll call a winner here. So, Smokey, on that Hughes Corporation hitting the post, Sarah's given you a solid 10 there, and it was largely based on working in the external element of calling out to her for the name of the artist
like
she
that,
gave
right?
it to. You worked it and still hit the post. It's fantastic.
So let's see if you can be... Now, John Paul has a 19. Let's see how good you do with this one.
All right, here we go. So this is Motley Crue. This is a double post, 16 and 30. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, Smokey, hit that post.
98.7 KUPL. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Motley Crue, baby. This weekend, it's a retro weekend. What does that mean? Plenty of George Jones, Merle, all that stuff this weekend. But till we get there, Motley Crue. Yeah. 98.7 KUPL.
No.
What? How much intro do these...
I wouldn't even know.
It can't all be gold, I'm afraid. we'll call that a 5.
No, because you got a 5 and yours was a lot worse than that.
Okay,
I'd say a 6.
All right, so we'll call that a 6.
You never thought you'd hear Motley Crue and George Jones in the same sentence.
The best part is how I can hear you gradually speaking more slowly. It's Merle. It was like sort of trying to pass it off as like a folksy kind of, and also some other things that I'm saying here. All right, Johnny, you ready, sir?
Yes.
All right, Smokey Woods gets a 16. John Paul, you will now talk up Hughes Corporation and Crue, and we'll call a winner at that point.
Okay.
All right. Hughes Corporation is first. The intro on this is what, Sarah?
8 seconds.
8 seconds.
8 seconds. All right. Hit that post.
AM 970 Solid State Radio, the song that started it all for the disco craze from 1976, Hughes Corporation on AM 970.
Oh! That was really good. That was amazing. That was
really good.
That was, you know, and the thing is, that was...
Informative? It was to the
but
point.
But that was razor tight right there. That was
I was wrong on the year, though. It was like 74, but...
Doesn't matter. It's how you say it.
A little rushed.
I sped up a little bit at the end.
I didn't hear it. I heard that was almost...
I heard it sounded like you were going to say AM 970 Solid State Radio, and I ran out of time.
I cut off early.
Well, Sarah, scale of 1 to 10, what do you call that?
I give that a solid 9.
You give this a solid 9. All right. All right. Are you ready for the double posting genius of Motley Crue?
Is this tough? What is this?
16 and 30. Okay. Girls, girls, girls.
All right,
from the album of the same name.
Do you want to use the clock?
Yeah, I might need the clock.
All right. Okay, you tell me. You give me like
I'm just going to make stuff up about these guys. They're really not coming to town, but I'm going to say they are.
That's okay.
All right.
AM 970 Solid State Radio. You got Batman Gomez working on 40 in a row. 40-minute music set right now. You want to see these guys in concert? I know you do. I got your tickets right here in my hand. Going to give them to you here in 15 minutes. Motley Crue and the boys. Girls, girls, girls. Remember this from MTV? Big video on MTV. Full of the ladies. I know you like the ladies. Now you're hearing it live on the radio. AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Oh, that was very good.
Both of them.
That was very good. You hit both posts. You actually you give that a 10.
He should get a 20 for that.
Wow.
That was two posts.
You need to do brackets and bring in some people.
We really, yeah.
We got to get these guys from KUFO over here.
NCAA
and bring in,
style. Seriously.
Do you hear that, Smokey?
Did you hear the sad news?
I got like a 20.
You got 19 to your 16, my friend. It's the genuine pain and sadness in your eyes that's so hurtful.
And the disbelief. He doesn't understand why.
I was nervous because I was talking a lot of trash this past week, and then this morning I thought, man, what if I lose?
Yeah.
I was?
Yeah.
No, really.
Did you enjoy your reign at the top?
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay. There you go, sir.
Can I try to get in again sometime?
Yeah, maybe.
They fall so hard.
What? No, I think I'm out, brother.
Yeah.
I think I exist.
You'll just be hosting them.
I'm a sort of like Mike Tyson now, how he just fights for like $12 outside the Aladdin in Vegas now. It's like, you know, for $12 you can punch Tyson. That's what I am now. I'm just the...
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You know what,
30 seconds is tough. That's
I'm the Washington Generals now at this point. I exist only.
I'm nervous. I told you that. I told you that.
Oh,
for some reason, I'm really, really nervous.
Outgoing champion, Smokey. Congratulations on your brief reign, sir. John Paul from 98.7 KUP. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. We'll see, but here's the thing is now.
You can have a visa.
Yeah, now.
Really? I've earned one?
Yes. And a hug from Scotty J.
Nice.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Now you are the fastest gun, sir. Now everybody is going to be wanting to take you down.
I will take on anyone.
I think we're...
I will throw the gauntlet down.
Listen to that. No, so I think we're going to make this like a monthly thing.
Okay.
I think we'll like a monthly post-it-in contest. You will be the king of the hill the next time. Because I think that's how it'll have to go from now on. It's like whoever it is will come in, they'll face off against me. Because it's like, if you can't even beat me... They shouldn't even be wasting your time. So they'll come in, they'll face off against me, and then presuming they beat me, then they go on to you.
What about the name Batman Gomez? How was that?
Did you just pull that out?
No,
that's
one of my favorite on-air names.
Did you call yourself that?
No. I know a guy who did, though.
Really?
Yeah. I love that name.
Now, did you ever just call yourself, John Paul, did you ever just call yourself the Pope? Did you ever just go with the obvious?
I did when I was in Buffalo at the Rock Station. I was just the Pope, John Paul, but then he died, and I kind of let that go away.
You transitioned away from that. That's fantastic. My first on-air name? Ed Zeppelin.
Are you kidding me?
No. Ed Zeppelin,
Max
baby.
Volume.
No, Max Volume, that guy in Vegas.
I think every city has had a Max Volume at one time or another.
There's a guy in Vegas now, actually, who's got that trademarked. He's a jock there.
Really?
He's I don't know if he's still... He was a couple years ago, but he had the big... He was like a holdover of the 80s, full on big Adam Curry hair and whatnot. And Max Volume, and totally with the big voice. And
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Smokey Woods is not a real name.
Who's to say? I worked with a Don Halen.
Halen, that's Ed Zeppelin is great.
Ed Zeppelin, see, here's the thing. I look back on it now, and I've got some perspective on it. Ed Zeppelin is actually so bad that I think it's once again great.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's going to become my new on-air alter ego, like my Slim Shady.
Nice.
All right.
Johnny Bravo is another good one, too.
Johnny Bravo, I'm amazed that there's nobody who... What were we saying that you ought to be called? If you were a rock jock, it was like... Helena Handbasket or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Helen Wheels.
And then somebody suggested a Sarah Bell Palsy. At which point, you sort of just became a garbage pail kid. So, all right. Well, congratulations,
nice,
sir, on your post-hitting acumen. You will be called upon
sometime next
month. There you go.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
That's such gold.
Thank you.
All right, there you go.
I don't even know if I'm going to open it. I think I'm just going to put it on my office, on my shelf.
Just wave it in front of Smokey every now and again.
I'm going to put it. It's going to be my trophy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Fun time.
John Paul, ladies and gentlemen, 98.7 KUPL, the biggest hits, the biggest stars. All right.
Hey, see? When you had a cold a couple weeks ago, I wanted you to cut promos for me.
Oh, man, I had the full-on Wolfman Jack.
I pulled him aside after a meeting. I go, you want to cut some promos for me? You got that? Hey.
I had the voice of God, all without the aid of a carton of cigarettes. So.
Right. Now it's gone.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, there he is. He walks off into the horizon. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time once again. It's 503-733-2970. Let us go to the city desk with your personal savior and speaker of all that is true. Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Good afternoon, comrades. Our top story. Yes, it's still the crocodile guy. The tape of the moment. Everyone's laughing and the man's dead.
Like it won't go away.
No, it's true. Can we all...
We're all mourning.
It's true, but I mean, Here's the thing about the Steve Irwin thing. Is A, let's all, we're all very sad. We are legitimately sad. And I'm not just mouthing those words to try to look. I'm not Katie Couric sad. I'm not like a whole, a nation mourns and our pain is, you know, whatever.
We're all Australians.
Today, we're all crocodile handlers. We are legitimately bummed out about the guy, but do you guys agree with me on this, that we are legitimately sad because
we're celebrating his life.
He seemed like such a cool guy and whatever, but that's it. But it's hard to be, how am I trying to say? We're all sad, but it's hard to be really serious about it. Like, right. Doesn't it seem like he sort of would have wanted it this way?
Right. This wasn't a serious death.
No, I mean, it was a whimsical death, especially as he was pulling out the stinger from his heart.
Well, I think
sort of cackling.
I think they kind of redid that story at the end.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Has it been modified? Do you think that's
it's kind of like
some
guessing a Lynch? It's kind of the photoshopping of someone's demise.
Of history?
Yes.
The photoshopping of history. Well, because you're right that they didn't have... We're getting ahead of ourselves, but... So, Steve Irwin, the croc guy, as the mainstream media finally announced today, poor newspapers, poor USA Today, they announced it today. The guy's been dead for like 2 days.
Yes.
Croc guy dies. We covered the story yesterday because we were here doing our thing. But at first, it was just that he died instantly. You are right about this. And then... He went from dying instantly, Jessica Lynch style, to valiantly pulling out the whatever it is, the speary pointy thing,
mm-hmm.
and like waving it angrily at the stingray and saying, you know, like, I regret nothing, as he, you know, sort of shouting the name of Khan mm-hmm. as he died. So, but
kind of Indiana Jones style.
Totally. It was, see you in hell, Khali. It was one of those things. Mm-hmm. But we're all very sad about the guy, but at the same time, I find it... It is, we are sort of, I don't know, being sort of jocular about the whole thing. I think it's because you get the idea that the guy himself would be very sort of, well, what are you going to do, you know?
Because he knew what he was doing.
Totally.
I mean, he's been messing around with dangerous animals for years.
Yeah.
One of them finally got him. It's just a game of
odds. He had a death wish.
Don't you think that if Steve Irwin was still here, I mean, that he'd be saying something like, well, you can sleep when you're dead. May he live while you live. You know, and then he'd pop open a beer and, like, slap a woman's ass or something. And
swing one of those rays around his head.
Seriously. So, you know, I know there's some bad radio bit in this somewhere where it's, you know, it's like an interview with him from beyond the grave, which we will not do. I'm just saying you get the feeling that he wouldn't be all that broken up about it. He'd be like, well, you win some, you get stabbed some, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Meanwhile, North Queensland police have rubbish reports that Irwin's technique in the water may have led to his demise.
This is Bank One. And
there is no evidence that Mr. Irwin was intimidating or threatening the stingray. My advice is that he was observing the stingray. There are no suspicious circumstances in relation to the death of Mr. Irwin.
Well, so now here's the thing, and this is the big story that came down this morning, too, which we speculated on yesterday, correctly as it turns out, that the whole thing is on film. The whole thing is on film, which raises all kinds of interesting questions, especially because, according to the people close to him, they claim that his instructions always were, you know, in some weird drunken Irish lingo, you know, that if it comes to push, comes to shove, and the git comes to the galley, you know, or whatever, I want it on film, keep filming, yeah, which apparently they did, so apparently, I wonder if he reconsidered that advice at the end, though. Can you help me with this? No, we're filming, Steve. Cranky, you know, and then his life force is oozing away. But apparently it's all on film, which is what he said he always wanted, and the family... And you wonder to what extent they're retrofitting this. But the family now claims that his wish was always that if he gets killed, to have it on film and to, like, show it to the world as a lesson in how nature operates or whatever. And I wonder if that's really what he said. I wonder if, you know, maybe it was really like, and if I get killed, please burn it and never show anyone my shame. But now that they're seeing the dollar signs. Because you know that that's, I mean...
Rupert Murdoch is in there bidding
for it. You know we would all watch it. Even Sarah, who was sort of wrinkling her nose in disgust and horror, you know you'd watch it.
I actually had this discussion with my friends last night, and we all agreed that we'd watch it.
We'd completely watch it. How can you not? I mean, it's...
I don't know if I could, though. I mean, I want to in theory, but seeing something stabbed into someone's heart, I just don't know if I'm into that.
What if it was like a pre-listener party type of thing?
Like the fetus? No, not the fetus. What was the thing, the placenta?
Oh, some, yeah, that was... But anyway,
Scotty just typed on the screen the following phrase. Shot through the heart, and you're to blame. All right, there you go.
But we can thank Steve Irwin for doing this because over the last couple of days, we haven't had to listen to things like this.
We're on the offense against the terrorists on every battlefront, and we'll accept nothing less than complete victory.
And you know what? For that, Steve Irwin, we thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You gave your life so that we might not hear our boring leader drone on like so much peanut butter shoveled into our ears. Let's see. Ralph, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, you remember a couple years back, Steve Irwin did that commercial for FedEx where the wrong antidote was sent because they used the wrong carrier for pink pipes?
I'm sorry, say that. We missed part of your thing. You missed what?
Remember a couple years back, Steve Irwin did that commercial for FedEx where they used the wrong carrier, sent the right antidote, and he got bit by a snake?
No, I don't. See, I don't. I have the TiVo, so I kind of get stripped. My commercial knowledge gets stripped away from me over time.
Very true, very true.
But I got the gist. So, yeah, so they used the wrong carrier. He didn't get the antidote.
Precisely. Good day.
Okay, thank you, Ralph. I said Elise! All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, an Alabama man who allegedly put his estranged wife's leg in a fire ant bed is facing charges.
Oh!
The woman has not been yet identified, suffered over 100 stings. Cottonwood, Alabama Police Chief Jim Smith said the assault is mind-boggling.
Obviously, we have people that are inadvertently attacked by fire ants when they step in a fire ant bed or maybe run over them with a lawnmower and get sprayed with them, but nothing where they were actually used as in the process.
Alabama man! So, what? I don't understand. So he took his... He dragged her out to the fire ant mound?
I guess so.
Is that like going out to the old pitching post?
Apparently, they were. He was upset over pending divorce, being charged with false imprisonment and third-degree domestic violence. So it's only third degree if fire ants are involved.
Fire ants, man.
The victim was treated at the scene. They had permanent scars. I mean, who could tell with a womb from Alabama? But they expected to make a full recovery. He said...
women from Alabama are just lumpy and sore-covered anyway. So
the victim did manage to go to a neighbor's house for help.
She subsequently went to one of the nearby neighbors, and they started getting the fire ants off of her. And officer arrived a couple minutes later and then rescued about 3 or 4 minutes after that and cleaned her up and got the ants off of her. That was a chore in and of itself.
Anytime your marriage involves the words, cleaned her up and got the ants off of her, you have chosen poorly when it comes to spouses. And you know that we should have a whole... Scotty J, please, you don't have to come in here. Just stay where you are. But we really should have a when nature attacks sounder because don't you get the feeling that the world is kind of turning on us species by species? So we had the Steve Irwin thing. Mm-hmm. There was something else just the other day. There was something, somebody was killed by something or other with hooves.
I have a pet python crushing its owner to death in Indiana.
We have that, and we have somebody gored in the groin. So we'll get to that.
A man shot in the head with a nail gun?
No. That's really...
Bed and breakfast cook kills three?
That's just human-on-human violence.
Let's see here.
Well, anyway, we got to get some sort of a sounder because it would be perfect for things like when nature attacks, mm-hmm. when blanks blank. Something like that. Fire ants are fantastic. And when I say fantastic, I mean terrifying. They really are like creatures from another world. They are just so mind-bogglingly evil, and they can't be stopped. That's the thing about fire ants, is they really are the terminators of the insect world. There is nothing that can... You see these farmers down there where they literally will just pour gasoline down a fire ant mound. I mean, it sounds like a Darwin watch just waiting to happen. They will pour a gallon of gasoline down a fire ant mound and just drop in a match. Doesn't matter, man. The ants just come right out and they go after you and then they go after your family.
Then they make a pie out of the dead one.
And then they tag your house. All right. Do we have another fire ant...
I know, but I have something else. More red state news. At long last, because the public demand it, you can now fly nonstop from Los Angeles to Oklahoma City.
Fantastic. Oh, is that the is that sound? Five, that's
yeah. She says.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That's
the
me.
Two factors of people, enough people being able to get on the plane to make it profitable, and the fact that the city is growing are factors that enter into an airline's decision.
And so, it's flying from where to where?
You can now fly from Oklahoma City to Los Angeles.
Is that if you've been banished or something?
I don't know.
Like you're being punished for something. Oh, listen to this. Boy, this email, you want to talk about a guy who's hit it on the head. Today is Tuesday, Rockstar Performance Night. Tomorrow is Wednesday, Rockstar Elimination Night, right? Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Rick, this is one of those things that I'm going to read it, and you're immediately going to go, ah, but of course, it's so obvious now. Rick, do you think Toby will wear a black armband tomorrow on Rockstar? You know he totally will. You know he will totally like, this one's for you, Steve. Tonight I rock for you and for all of us. You know he will totally do that. And he'll, I bet he'll rip open his shirt and he'll have like Steve, you know, Steve Irwin RIP or something. He will totally have like a Steve something somewhere on his body.
That sounds like something Bono would do.
Like, well, but that, man, that's what that guy is. He's just sort of a, he's sort of a Bono meets like Guess Jeans commercial, that guy. All right. Well, there you go. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. We come back. Someone has, quote, a nerdy question for Rick. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Oh, and Tim Riley's got an internal memo about Everclear. It's fantastic. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Going to volunteer that information at a barbecue.
Exactly.
No, no, no. The wide base is so you don't lose it.
It just makes no sense.
Okay. Hey, it's a Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. We'll talk Storm at Large. Oh, I got a couple entries in the Delana Sweet Sweet Tears.
Oh, yeah.
Contest.
How are they? Are they as good as yesterday?
We got 13, 14 of them, something like that. We'll play a couple today. And then tomorrow we're going to play them all and we'll figure out what to do. All right. And we'll be talking endlessly about the death of Steve Irwin because it's what we do. It's 503-733-2970. We'll get some more phone calls here in a moment. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show live from the Hill. Wait. From the Hill.
I don't know what's going on.
From the Hill.
There we go.
Okay, there you go. Flawlessly executing everything we do in our quest for broadcast perfection. Lisa Goddard, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. I think you guys are in tune with Congress, though, so it's all good.
No, you know what it is? We're so saddened and bereft by the death of Steve Irwin. That's our excuse for everything. That are the Croc Master. Or what is he? Croc? What was he?
Croc Hunter.
I panicked on that too. I don't know.
Can I just tell you this?
They're shaking their fists at us.
No, this is their tiny little fists of rage. This is a true story. Actually, I went to one of our local video stores last night. I was going to rent a DVD, and I walk in, and I didn't even realize it for a few minutes. But of course, they were playing that Croc Hunter movie, like Croc Hunter: Enter the Forbidden Zone or whatever it is, that feature film he did.
Oh.
And the thing is, and it's. Like it's such a dumb film. Like it's just such a retarded movie. But it was also poignant, and it really was like one of those weird. I hate to draw this comparison, but it really was like one of those images you saw after 9/11, where like in Britain everybody went to whatever Leicester Square or whatever, and they all stood and they stared up at the sky in like a moment of silence or something. So it was at Movie Madness on Belmont Street, where literally there's like this huge plasma screen attached to the upper wall. And there's like 15 of us just standing there, slack jawed, staring up in a moment of silent nudity for Steve Irwin and his terrible filmmaking career.
See, now I'm worried that what's going to happen is September 11th has become sort of this polar opposite of Hitler, and so any sad moment is going to be compared, you know, just like anything bad. Like we, let me tell you, a lot of Hitler references today in Washington, by the way. Any sad moment, September 11th, any bad person, Hitler.
Yeah, well...
You're wrong about that? I'm a little worried. Not to say that it wasn't just like September 11th when you were there and feeling that.
Yes, it was. When I was at the video store with those 12 people holding a Snickers bar in my other hand, it was just like September 11th. Exactly. But you're right. I mean, well, it's because it just becomes sort of the polar... You're right, the polar twin, the benchmark.
I guess so. Maybe there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know. I'm just pointing out because I know you probably would.
No, the best part is that when you mentioned that there's a lot of Hitler references being thrown out while Washington today, and maybe there's a reason for that, but in my head, that's just what you do when you're in Washington, you know? It's just like a rule. It's like a two-drink minimum. There's like a two-Hitler reference minimum.
Maybe it's like one of those games, you know, when the waiters have to sell however many appetizers. Maybe they've got a sort of inside, hey, I mentioned Hitler twice.
Totally. Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's... And you're right. Everybody just sort of keeps that in their top drawer as the thing to go. Well, what is this? Well, we're trying to shorten Arbor Day. Let me tell you about another man who wanted to shorten Arbor Day. His name was Adolf Hitler. You know, and then there you go. I have this this friend of mine, and I think this is sort of a known thing, actually, that there's some, the internet kids have this thing, they call it, I forget what it's even, Godwin's Law or something like that, but it's some sort of maxim that states that the minute someone compares something, some other person to Hitler in any sort of message board discussion, like the discussion is officially over and all further posts are just pointless. You know, really, because really at that point you've just reached a level of ridiculousness. There's no coming back from that.
Right, there's nowhere else to go.
No, it's true. So I've got this handed to me now. This is from Reuters.
Oh, boy.
White House backs Rumsfeld, says, really, we are living in a strange world when this is the endorsement from the White House. I swear to God, I'm reading this from Reuters. Yes. White House backs Rumsfeld, says he's not a boogeyman. Now, when the White House has to sort of issue a letter of support for one of their own, claiming, and the best they can do is, he's not a boogeyman, it really does not speak, perhaps, of their confidence in his ability to keep that job.
We haven't seen a lot of photo ops with the president next to Rumsfeld lately, nor have you seen a lot of other Republicans standing next to Rumsfeld lately either. Of course, he doesn't seem to be backing down too much, but we haven't had a Pentagon news conference in a little while either. So, you know, Rumsfeld's name is being kicked around like a little hacky sack here in Washington, but the man's image itself is scarce because really everyone knows this election is up for grabs, and everyone knows that Rumsfeld, as much as the president doesn't have great approval ratings, I think he's at 41%. Rumsfeld and I think Dick Cheney have even worse numbers.
See, and you know what I like to see, and it really, this has nothing to do with partisanship as such. I mean, obviously, I have my own political vantage point, as we all do, which everybody, you know, is sort of very aware of. But to me, I just like to see contention. That's really what it's all about. I just like to see discord. And in fact, this is, the CNN prep sheet this morning actually makes some reference to that. It says, Congress officially returns today with the control of the House and Senate being decided by voters, along with contentious issues. And that just means it's going to be an exciting year for me. the idea that the White House would say about Donald Rumsfeld, he's not a boogeyman. I mean, imagine if somebody had come, not that anybody would ever do this, because you are, of course, stellar in your job and in your mannerisms. But what if someone complained to CNN about Lisa Goddard, and then, like, CNN put out a press, Lisa Goddard does not kill kittens. Like, that's it, you know? Lisa Goddard does not kick children in the face. It just doesn't really sound like a ringing sort of endorsement. So we've got the contentious issues are what? Immigration?
Right. Well,
what else?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. Immigration, don't count on that getting anywhere. I mean, that is really left behind in the dust right now. Still a little bit of talk. There may be like a border security fence. There might be some money for sealing the border, but other immigration issues look pretty comatose right now. So otherwise, we're talking about the defense budget. We're talking about the Homeland Security budget, which will include some immigration money. Talking about those NSA wiretaps. Those are the kind of issues. Iraq is going to come up a lot, and that's why Rumsfeld's coming up now, boogeyman or not. Is because the defense budget is up on the floor. And I should mention that Tony Snow, when he did bring up the whole boogeyman thing, he was saying others are trying to make Rumsfeld look like a boogeyman. And he did have this one sentence where he said the president strongly supports the defense secretary. So he did put that out there, even though bringing up the boogeyman may have distracted him.
Boy, did Tony Snow pick the worst time in the world? I mean, to pick David a job or whatever, I don't suppose you can really turn down that job. But, I mean, you want to talk about a guy just taking a pig in a poke. I mean, and it doesn't look like anything is going to be getting better. Is there this sense that not just the Bush administration, but as we head into fall election and, of course, 08 coming up, that not just George Bush himself, but for example, Karl Rove just no longer has the stranglehold that he once did on the party or certainly on the base?
You know, I think that's right. That's what we hear, that the Rove factor is just not what it used to be, that he used to be the man with the golden touch. Whatever he said, everyone followed because he was the king of politics. It's not that way anymore. In fact, I'd say it's sort of every man for themselves, every district for itself. Whatever you've got to do to win, if you've got to, as some or two Republicans over the weekend did, if you've got to say Rumsfeld should step down, say it. Whatever you've got to do, if you're a Republican, the order nowadays is really just save yourself, basically try and stay in office. But I have to bring this up. I just got an email that apparently there's a lawsuit in Texas over the W, over the W in George W. Bush, that there actually is a lawsuit over who should be able to copyright that W.
Now, is the copyright currently held by George W. Bush?
You know, it looks like we've got some business. Rally Concepts is suing the Republican National Committee.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that is a good one. Jury selection Wednesday, so anybody with a Texas address, try and get down there tomorrow if you can.
Oh, no, that's...
that jury.
We actually have a couple listeners in Texas, people listen to us online. So, can I just tell you that I know that we've got big issues in this country. We've got problems right here in River City, as they say. But it really is sort of... It's things like that that really grab my attention, because I'm a big fan of things that jam the culture. I really am a big fan of things that are just sort of a stick in the spokes to the normal order of things. So
that's what I thought you'd like this. Yeah, apparently it's the company wants to put a W on a flag. The Republicans put a W on a flag, and this company says they own the copyright to that.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's like when OJ tried to copyright the letters O and J back in like 1996.
Exactly.
I love things like that. All right, Lisa Goddard, well, I am rubbing my hands together with anticipatory glee as we head towards this fall. It's going to be the best year ever.
Yeah, 4 more weeks for Congress. That's just 12 days. Oh. And this week the House is in session just one. So they're going to pack a lot in. It's not going to be pretty. So keep watching.
I love the smell of discord in the morning. All right. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. We will talk to you soon, Lisa.
You got it.
Thank you. There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Hello. Tim Riley. How are you?
Those who do not support boogeymen or sleeping with Nazis and communists.
But seriously, how great is that? That's the best thing they can find to say about Donald Trump. Well, he's not really a boogeyman, I guess.
They're a good boogeyman.
let's get what are we doing here? This is Aaron. Aaron, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, I noticed that after Steve Irwin died, they literally put a show on Animal Planet. And I swear it's like...
Is this Aaron Geek in the City? I can't tell.
No, this is not. This is some random security guard.
Okay. It
sounds like you're kind of talking like this. I was only,
okay. And so what about the... About...
Well, I was just looking for the channels. I came across Animal Planet. And literally the Monday, yesterday, they were literally playing stuff about Steve Irwin. They were doing interviews with his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they had to have had that prepared.
Oh, dude, yeah.
They started there.
Well, look, let's be honest. It's not like he was some guy that this caught us all by surprise as such. I mean, the guy handles crocodiles for a living. You figure they probably got that obituary, that archival material was probably... There was probably just a button behind glass that you just sort of broke with a little hammer and you pressed the big red switch and it just started beaming Steve Irwin material out everywhere. You and I both know, Aaron, that DVD collection will be advertised on television within a day. I mean, I'm surprised I'm not getting spammed right now by some company selling Steve Irwin DVDs.
But it was just amazing to me, because, I mean, he probably got to see that. How many people get to see their own obituary?
What? I'm sorry?
I was going to say, he probably got to see that, his tape. Because if they pre-made it.
Oh, yeah, no, that's probably true. Well, I think he probably had no illusions about that. It's got to be a weird sensation, though, if this story that we heard about him is to be believed, that he's there underwater, gets speared in the heart with the thing, the whatever it is, the stingray, and he's sort of yanking it out, and then you look over and, like, there's your friend Ted kind of filming away, waving at you. And that's got to be a strange way to spend your final few moments on Earth, is realizing that the whole thing is being, you know, being put on Super 8. So...
You've got to look at it this way. He got stabbed in the heart. For all we know, him pulling out the bar probably killed him, because that's a massive hemorrhage. It's your heart.
Thanks for picking us all up, Aaron. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, Aaron, thank you, sir. You spread the word, brother.
Have a good day.
Okay, there you go. Yes, that sentiment will help me have a good day.
That's why you're not a security guard.
Aaron's not a little drunk to you? Okay. I think he's securing a bottle of Bailey's somewhere. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there were fried Twinkies and even fried candy bars, but now the newest thing at the Texas State Fair is fried Coca-Cola. Abel Gonzalez Jr., deep fries Coca-Cola flavored batter, then he drizzles Coke fountain syrup on it. The fried Coke is topped in whipped cream, cinnamon, sugar, and a cherry.
Then he just injects lard right into his buttocks.
Fried Coke just came around to the Texas State Fair. Judges for the contest chose Shirley London's Fried Praline Perfection as the tasty food delicacy. I guess this was second runner-up in a weird food contest in Texas. Apparently, this fellow Gonzalez achieved notoriety in 2005 with fried peanut butter, banana, and jelly sandwiches, selling 25,000 of the treats. Oh, then in 2004, he had fried marshmallows on a stick, so he's not new to this.
No, you know, my dad used to make fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches, which actually Elvis ate those, too. That was Elvis's favorite. And, you know, those things are like 2,500 calories each. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, you know, we were talking about the vending machine last week, speaking of bad treats, because it turns out that we have the inside line, because the guy that stocks the vending machine is a listener, and he told us if we put our own selections on there and made, like, a little mark next to him, he would make sure that they were there. So we did the show here yesterday, and I came here, and I didn't bring lunch yesterday. And so I'm sitting there, and I went back to the vending machine, and I bought something. Did you ever buy something out of the vending machine, and even as you're buying it, you know that you're not going to like it? You know, it's not that it doesn't look good, but you just know that your body's going to reject it.
Did you buy the honey bun?
I didn't. No, I did not. But it's the same row. That bottom row, and I think this is a thing with vending machines. The items increase in price as you go down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the very top of the vending machine, like way away from eye level, is like the pretzels and like those, what are those TGI Fridays chips? Have you seen those? It's like TGI Fridays has their own kind of barbecue chips.
Yeah, stay away from that row.
Oh, it looks like the least appealing thing on earth. And then you get towards the bottom. Yeah, and at the bottom, it's all like beef jerky, which is like $100 a pound. And then there's the honey bun, which is like a large sort of sticky.
Do you buy Pop-Tarts?
No, they're out. See, that's what I always go for.
Mm-hmm.
I always go for the Pop-Tarts.
Microwave popcorn?
Is microwave popcorn bad for you or not?
Yes.
I mean, butter.
With the butter? Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I know, and they never put the calorie content on there, so you don't know.
Because it just comes out of a box, so you can delude yourself into thinking it's 100, like the pretzels.
Did you get the trail mix?
No, I didn't get the trail mix. I got the chocolate-covered donuts.
Oh,
the chocolate with the bottom, right? I know. Well, and here's the thing is, I knew I wouldn't like them. And here's how I know. Because I'm constantly saying on this show how everyone, like once a year, somebody will offer me like a Krispy Kreme. Radio stations are always, always, always getting Krispy Kremes.
There were some here on Friday.
Radio people, look, if there's one thing that radio people don't need more of, it's fat. All right? That's true. That's just a fact.
It's either a Krispy Kreme or a colon cleansing.
So they're always dropping off Krispy Kreme. And I, like, once a year, I'll look down and I'll say, maybe this time it'll be different. Maybe the Krispy Kreme won't just taste of gelatinous fat. And so I pick it up and I'll get, like, one bite in and it just tastes terrible. It's just ass. And so it is yesterday afternoon where I look down and there's the chocolate-covered donuts, which I used to eat a lot as a morning DJ. Like, I would just buy them for 85 cents at the Quick Stop or whatever. And, man, I bought them and I took them out and I opened them and it's like... And of course, it's not even real chocolate. It's like that weird chocolate-like substance. It's sort of like it's kind of like that magic shell stuff they used to sell for the top of ice cream. And it's like 8 donuts in a pack. And I got like 3 in, and you feel your whole stomach in a state of upheaval. You can just feel your body. It's sort of like it's sort of like when the whole peristaltic motion just reverses. And you can feel, like, as you're putting the donut into your mouth and trying to swallow it, you can feel your body pushing back against it. You can feel your stomach and your esophagus go, no! And just trying to block the whole thing. And I got halfway through the pack, and I realized I was going to hurl if I continued to eat them, so I just tossed them into the trash. And here's how pathetic I am. I tossed them into the trash, and I actually made sure that I opened them, and actually dumped them into the trash, like, out of the package, so to prevent myself from reaching back into the trash later and getting them out of the package. That's how pathetic and retarded I am. Let's see.
Thank you.
Max, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how you doing, man?
What's up?
Nothing much. I need to ask you a really nerdy last Starfighter question.
Oh, God. All right.
All right, so near the end of the movie when Alex Rogan comes back and that one dude comes to assassinate, you know, the alien that pops Alpha Centauri, what's that alien's name?
Well, because it's not Xur.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's Xur, because greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the galaxy against Xur and the Codan Armada. No, because what's his name? Xur, he dies on the ship because he looks over and there's the little thing counting down and he says, what, or whatever, and then it blows up. Yeah, you know, I don't know the answer to that. And somebody pointed out a couple weeks ago that my last Starfighter knowledge is a little bit... It's not that I don't have it, but it's very specified. Basically, it comes down to being able to do several speeches and to being able to do Griggs' laugh, which is just sort of a... kind of a thing. So, I can do sort of a passable Centauri imitation. That's about it. Really, Aaron is your best bet. Aaron Geek in the City when it comes to Last Starfighter trivia, sir.
Thanks, man. I just need to watch the movie over again. I need to go. I just need to pull it out of the VHS copy and just sit down and watch it.
Yeah,
it's been bothering me for weeks.
That's really what you need to do with your life. To sit down and watch The Last Starfighter on VHS over and over. I would suggest you do that before you go to college or maybe work for advancement at your place of employment. All right,
Rick. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad I could help. Or not. Here's Tim Riley.
A 14-foot pet python crushed its owner to death.
That's fantastic.
This after finding the snake loose in a southern Indiana shed with the man's body.
Oh, and it pulled him into a shed.
Mm-hmm. The death was consistent with asphyxiation caused by compression of the neck and chest. This fellow had 12 to 14 years of experience handling snakes.
So this is sort of the Steve Irwin of the snake world, this story.
And he's from Indiana, so who would know he's
not? Really. What's one less person in Indiana?
Indiana does not restrict ownership of snakes or python.
The best part is, I read the story, and anywhere else, a dog so much as nips anybody, and they take it out back and toss it in an incinerator these days. The snake kills the guy. I read the story on CNN.com this morning. The snake kills the guy, and they immediately just give the snake back to the family. Like, here you go. Happy trails. They just give it right back. The family just put it right in the station wagon and went home.
Meanwhile, a man was airlifted to the hospital after a nail gun fell on his head, shooting him with a staple. Sounds like a Laurel and Hardy type of thing, doesn't it? The accident happened at a construction site. The man had been working on a new home, and he was climbing down from the platform. At that time, a nail gun fell off the platform, hit him in the head. When the nail gun hit him, it discharged and shot an industrial-type staple into his head.
Oh, those are the staples really long, too. Mm. They're like an inch and a half long. So what is he's climbing down, he drops it.
It falls off.
See, I didn't think, I thought that nail guns were made so you had to, so they couldn't go off accidentally. I thought that there was a trigger.
Not this one.
This is sort of he bought this one on eBay.
This is the first year it came out.
This was the beta test of the nail gun. Nail guns are fantastic. Has anybody here ever actually used a nail gun?
No, they're scary.
It scares me. It's too much power and too fast of a pointy, sharp thing.
Let me just say this. Here's the really creepy thing about a nail gun. Because when I was a kid, my dad was rebuilding a fence in our backyard, and it was with this really thick wood. And my dad had a pneumatic nail gun, so it's hooked up to, the big hose, and then it generates a lot of air, and then it shoots. And these are, these are like long 10-penny nails. These are, like a good 4 inches long, and the nails come out with such force that they can go right through a 2x4. And I have the distinct recollection of being I was a little kid, I like 10 or 11. My dad, probably on one of his generic beer days, decided it was a good idea to let me help him. And I remember holding the nail gun, and he would sort of put the plank up against the 2x4 backing. And then I would take the nail gun, put it flush with the plank, and then he'd pull the trigger, and it's like a poof sound. And the nail goes right in. And I can recall just plain as day having this very, very clear notion in my head of I could probably kill him with this right now. You don't really think about that a lot. How frequently you are putting your life and death in the hands of someone else. Like, does anybody have this happen to them? When you're driving down the road at night and it's like a two-lane road, one lane this way, one lane that way, do you ever think a lot about how you pass thousands of cars every day, and all you'd really need is for one of those people in the oncoming lane to be suicidal and just to jerk the wheel to the left at the right moment, and you'd both be dead. I think about that all the time. Probably once a drive home. Like, if I'm driving home from here to my house, probably at least once on the way home, it will occur to me that one of the oncoming drivers might be a suicidal guy who's picked that moment in time to take his life by just suddenly pulling into the oncoming lane right in front of me.
That's pretty morbid.
I think about it constantly. I really do. It's true.
We're all thinking about it now.
Let's all ponder it now.
Thanks for giving that thought to all of us.
Hey, if you're out on the road right now, perhaps a delivery driver, there's a little food for thought. There you go. That's one to grow on, kids. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, here's something about finger foods. The never-ending march of technology now means school children can pay for the cafeteria Sloppy Joes with their fingers. Rome, Georgia public schools are switching to a scanning system that lets students use their fingerprints to access their accounts. In the past, the students had to punch with their PIN numbers. The finger is better off because all you do is put the finger in. You don't have to get the number or get it mixed up. The new system speeds up lunch line, and city administrators like it. It's being phased into all the city schools.
Oh,
okay, there you go. That's some, that's totally some creepy mark of the beast.
Of course the city likes it.
Of course
the
city does. Yeah, all right, there you go.
So they can tell who eats everything on their plate and who doesn't.
Seriously, that'll make it easier to round people up for the re-education later on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, nail guns. Hello, Joel, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Oh, not much. Hey, nail guns and staple guns discharge accidentally all the time when they get dropped.
Is that true?
There's a little safety mechanism at the end of the, basically, barrel mm-hmm. that you have to push in. And once that's pushed in, if that trigger gets a quick enough sharp jar, that's going to go.
Because that's, okay, so the mechanism is, the safety, in other words, is that the sort of muzzle of it.
You have to have the nail gun pressed up against the item that you want to nail in order for it to go.
Pressed flush against the board, for example.
Yeah, so if it fell directly on the top of his head, and that sudden stop would shake the trigger, that's going to go right off.
Yeah.
I've dropped them off ladders before. And I've had them go off.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's always fun.
No, we love anything heavy. Wood chippers and nail guns, that's where about 80% of our good stories come from.
Oh, yes. All right. And there's bloodshed. That's a good thing.
Have you ever injured yourself with a nail gun?
No, I've injured other people, though.
Really?
Yes, you pull back the little slide, you pull the trigger, you can shoot those suckers a long ways.
Attention construction workers who are perhaps bored or drinking on their lunch hour.
Oh, no, you just got to be good stoned for that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
There you go. That's okay. Let's see. Let's get a couple of these here. Don, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Don.
Yeah. I'll fling this one at you for free. When Nature Attacks theme song.
Yes.
Jethro Tull, Bungle in the Jungle.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the suggestion, Don.
No problem.
Okay. There you go. A little
good thing that was free.
And it was worth every penny, Don. All right, hold on, let me find the, let's see.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George. Hello, George.
Thank you, Rick. Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Rick, you are absolutely correct in that your perception that the creatures are rising up against the human plague.
Yes, it's true.
I just read yesterday's paper, in fact, that several hundred birds attacked a boat for 30 minutes with such violence that when they hit the boat, they broke their necks.
Is that true? Where?
30 minutes. It says here, Anchorage, hundreds of dead, several hundred shearwaters died after flying into a crabbing boat last week.
What kind of bird?
A shearwater? I never heard of it.
What is that?
I don't know. It's some kind of seabird. And the boat captain reported that a hail of shearwater struck the vessel for as long as 30 minutes.
So they were it was just hundreds of birds throwing themselves against the boat kamikaze style.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. That really is. Because you've seen the birds, haven't you, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
The Alfred Hitchcock film. That's totally what that is.
Yeah, and they later washed up against the shore. They found all these birds with their necks broken. They don't normally run into ships, but you can check with Clyde in Native American Prophecy, which has predicted in the end times.
I like how it's Clyde or Native.
Either one.
Either of the two.
Yeah. Yes, and their prophecy has predicted that formerly docile organisms will attack humans, such as deer, squirrels, baby rabbits have been attacking people. It's just been, it's the end time, but you know, what are you going to do?
No, in every park, squirrels are freaky in the parks now. No, I mean, they'll run after our dogs.
They
like, they'll run after any dogs I see out there.
They're totally without fear. They have
and
no...
And they bark, too. They make these weird...
The end is near.
Squirrels
and I just
don't
wanted
bark.
To mention that vision you have of a car coming into you head-on.
Yeah.
That's right out of, like, a Woody Allen movie where Christopher Walken is taking...
Annie Hall. That moment in Annie Hall where Christopher Walken's driving, he's like, sometimes I just want to... Jerk the wheel to the left and end it all. Yeah, that's totally... I always assume there is a God. Here's the thing. I just take it as an article of faith that the only reason... that it's just luck that that hasn't happened because, look, you figure the law of averages. Let's say out of 100 people, maybe one person, two people are feeling suicidal. Let's say two out of 100. Well, if two out of 100 people are feeling suicidal, you got to figure one of them is depressed enough to maybe act on it. And so... how many people do you pass on the way home in your car? I would say several hundred, probably. If it's a good 15, 20-minute drive, rush hour, you probably pass 500 cars.
Times 365?
Yeah, 500 cars times, let's say, 200 days a year.
Yeah.
That's whatever. That's like 10,000 cars, 100,000 cars, whatever it is. So you got to figure that it's at some point, you know, X number. It's like suicide by cops, suicide by car crash. X number of those accidents you hear reported on the highway, not accidents
at all. Yeah,
just people that they don't have the courage to just go home and throw a strap over the shower rod, so they want to jerk over into a Freightliner.
Now I know why I like you so much, because that same thought goes through my head every goddamn time I go driving.
No, it's true. The world is shot to hell, and we're all goners.
And Steve Irwin faced the devil's choice because. And, emergency medicine 101 is do not remove the blade of the knife or whatever projectile.
Yeah, but you got to... I was thinking about that, too. Somebody, that guy was like, when he pulled... I love these. You know, here's the thing. No disrespect to the caller, because we love our audience. But here's the thing. Generous of this, guys will Monday morning quarterback anything. Anything at all.
Guilty as charged.
Totally. Well, it's like, remember how we went into Afghanistan? We invaded Afghanistan, and suddenly everybody was an expert on the war in Afghanistan.
Well, you know, the British were bogged down in Afghanistan for... I know this because I just read an in-depth article on the front of USA Today.
Well,
it was in large, pleasing type. Yeah. And so we had this guy call up early, and he's like, well, Rick, the thing is, he shouldn't have pulled out that stingray blade, because... that's really what killed him, says like a guy in Beaverton who's just calling us between trips to an Applebee's. And so, but here's the thing. What is your option, right? If you're, let's
poisonous.
Well, not only that, if you're Steve Irwin and you're sitting there and the stingray thing goes, presumably what, between your ribs, Sarah?
Someone was talking last night that it went up.
See, when I see Sarah cringe, that's the cue to talk more about it.
That it went underneath.
This whole story may have been all made up.
Probably living in a tree with Jim Morrison. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, underneath your rib cage, your sternum, into the heart, bam. The thing is, you got to pull it out because otherwise it's poisonous, and so you're probably losing any of your muscular ability, right?
Exactly.
And so here's the thing. If you don't pull it out, isn't the stingray just going to swim off with Steve Irwin attached to the end, bobbing up and down like some sort of...
thing off like a dagger.
Yeah.
He was screwed, though, because of the poisonous aspect. Otherwise, the other caller was absolutely right. If you're stabbed, you should never remove the knife.
Yeah,
that's
Steve Irwin.
Scar.
Stupid. All right, thank you, George.
Well, thanks, Rick. Bye. Right,
I can't believe you've never seen a barking squirrel.
Is that like a...
seriously, they're
like a Harvey Wallbanger?
They've learned how to bark back. So whenever, Muppet is at the bottom of a tree...
they've learned how to bark back.
Yeah, they make these horrific, like, little screechy barking sounds. And they're braced on all four legs, like, ready to pounce.
You're sure these are squirrels you're talking
they're
about,
squirrels.
Not just small dogs?
No, Davey Nipples just showed me, too. He's like, squirrels bark, Rick can eat it. And they do.
Thanks, Davey. Tim, have you seen these so-called barking squirrels?
I have not had the pleasure, no.
All right. All right.
Not that they're not out there.
I'm not saying they don't exist, Sarah. I'm just saying that...
in every park I've taken Muppet to, they've been barking. Well, not everyone, but like around
the
big...
do these barking squirrels ever talk to you in a special voice?
They dance.
Do they tell you to kill?
Like, Rick, they exist.
I love
that. That's exactly what they sound like. Well, not the hello, Sarah.
Dance in the moonlight.
Okay.
That noise, that's what they sound like.
I see, I'm just making up a noise here. No, you see them too. Okay. All right. Are the squirrels, do you ever wake up and you're covered in squirrels late at night? Maybe if you haven't had anything to drink for a couple days. All right.
You were going to be attacked by a barking squirrel today just because.
Hey, should we mention that you woke up and your dog was eating something out of your ear?
No, he ate my earplug.
Does he pull it out while you're asleep?
Fell out or he pulled it out.
Your dog actually consumes things from inside your ear while you're asleep.
I love my dog.
No, I love your dog, too.
Unfortunately, the earplug got stuck on the way out.
Okay.
That was embarrassing at the dog barbecue I was at yesterday.
Oh, pardon me.
Barbecuing dogs? Was this some people who couldn't leave their old world customs where they came from when they came to America?
You cooked too long. Dog all stringy now. All right.
See, no, and Aaron just wrote too. He says they bark and they leap.
Chinese people?
I don't know. Squirrels,
chased
Rick.
By a barking Chinaman. All right, let's break now, shall we? I'm just saying I've never...
I'm so mad at you. I can't believe you don't believe me.
You're mad at me because I haven't been chased by a barking squirrel. Really, again, I think we need to re-examine the sort of benchmarks by which we grade our anger on this program.
Good job.
That's hitting a post right there. Why couldn't I do that earlier? Sons of bitches.
Did you buckle under the pressure?
Why don't you shut up? All right. Hey, barking squirrel info. Nose guy that scratched. I don't understand. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Damn.